And the clause that's particularly on my mind to bring before us for our meditation, as the Lord helps, is in verse 2. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. One of the wonderful themes of Holy Scripture is this theme of darkness and light. On the one hand, the darkness of the world, the darkness of our own hearts, and on the other hand, the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah in his prophecy spells it out so clearly here. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And if we should be in any doubt what this great light is, or who this great light is, Isaiah spells it out for us in this passage. In verse 6, he points us to the manger of Bethlehem and he says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So we need to go no further than Bethlehem to see this great light. And we need to go no further than the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light. I am the light of the world." But if the meaning of this particular clause is clear, gloriously clear, then I think it's fair to say that the whole context is rather more difficult. And I want, just for a moment or two before we come to the direct and personal application of this word, to think a little bit about the context. We thrill, don't we, to read Isaiah 9 at carol services. But I wonder how many of those who read at carol services, or those who listen at carol services, know what the first verse really means. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." And I suppose one of the challenges is that if Isaiah 9 is one of the best read chapters in Scripture, Isaiah chapter 8, I suspect, is probably one of the least read. And the context of Isaiah chapter 8 is the judgment that the Lord is bringing on the northern territories, on Israel, and in particular the great army of the Syrians that would come against God's ancient people. So, for example, in the last verse of chapter 8, we're told that the people of that area would know trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and that the people will be driven to darkness. So Isaiah, writing over 700 years before the Lord Jesus would come, was writing at a time when the Assyrians were the great power, the great empire on earth. And not only were they powerful, they were cruel, and not only were they powerful and cruel, they were the sworn enemies of the Lord's people. And of course they came from the north, from Assyria itself. And just as those of you who study the Vikings at school will know, that the Vikings came from the east, and therefore the areas that bore the brunt of their raids was the east coast. So it was with the Assyrians. And we can read in the book of Kings in 733, the Assyrian army came through, and the list of those who they took away into captivity included those in Galilee and all the land of Naphtali. If you want to look it up later, it's 2 Kings chapter 15 verse 29. So these were scenes of desperation. Desperation for God's ancient covenant people. But very remarkably, Isaiah turns them away from those terrible troubles and trials. And he points to a time when the hills and the lakes of Galilee would have something to rejoice over. And that is, it would be to this area so troubled, that the Messiah would come. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them, those in Galilee, hath the light shined. You know, thinking of this time of year, it's striking, isn't it? The different prophecies, wonderfully fulfilled in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But if you think about the different prophecies about where the Lord Jesus would come from, we have in Micah, don't we, that he would come from Bethlehem. In Hosea, we're told, out of Egypt have I called my son. Here in Isaiah, we're told he would come from Galilee. And elsewhere, we're told he would be called a Nazarene. And I suppose it must have been very confusing, in a sense, for God's Old Testament people. But we look back tonight, don't we? And we see all of it perfectly fulfilled. Born in Bethlehem, needing to flee to Egypt, and then spending his childhood and early ministry in Galilee. And so it is with all of the Lord's promises and prophecies, how perfectly they're fulfilled. And so we see the fulfillment of this prophecy literally worked out in Matthew chapter 4. And again, I won't read the passage, but it's verses 13 to 15 in Matthew chapter 4. We're told that the Lord Jesus went to Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, on the border between the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And Matthew says this, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And then he quotes this passage, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And so we think of that immediate fulfillment of this great prophecy, that wonderful ministry of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in Galilee, the things that he said, never man spake like this man, the things that he did, his miracles, this beginning of miracles we read, don't we? This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory. And we think how he called his disciples the Galilean fishermen, all here in Galilee. And we think as well, after his resurrection, how he said, behold, I go before you into Galilee. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And yet, as we consider this context and the literal fulfillment of this word, there is also a sense of division, a sense of sadness. John, at the very beginning of his gospel, says to us, in him, that is in the word, in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in him was life. And that life was the light. There's that word again. That life was the light of men. But this is what he said, the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. He came unto his own. There he was in Galilee. He came unto his own, and for the most part, his own received him not, there in his hometown, in the area of Galilee. But as many as received him, Simon Peter, the Galilean disciples, you tonight, me tonight, if we receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So that's the context. And you'll remember that the Lord Jesus, in speaking to Galilee and speaking to the people in Galilee, spoke directly to those towns, didn't he? Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And woe to us tonight if we neglect this great salvation. And woe to us if we neglect this great light. So that by way of context. And really I've just got two very simple but very important words of application. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And I wonder whether you younger ones know what I mean by a word of application. By that I mean what this means for us personally, how we apply it to ourselves personally. We've thought about the important context, but what does it mean for us? Because God's word speaks personally to our own hearts and lives. So first of all, the light of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ shining in the conversion of sinners. The light of the gospel shining in the conversion of sinners. Because you know that as we're born and as we grow up, by nature, we are in darkness. It's the darkness of sin, and it shrouds us from God. And the tragedy of mankind is this, that not only are they in darkness, but until the light dawns, they don't even realise that they're in darkness. But when the Holy Spirit works in a believer's heart, the light begins to dawn. And it's a light and it's a life that dawns through this child, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We were listening to some hymns in the car on the way up, and one of them had this line in it: all things were changed when he found me, and a new day dawned all around me. And that's exactly it, the work of conversion. The Lord finding us and a new day dawning, the Son of Righteousness arising. And as we look at this passage, it gives us a little hint of how this great work takes place. Verse 5 is a difficult verse again. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and with garments rolled in blood. But this dawning, this victory, shall be with burning and fuel of fire. In other words, the victory that this child wins is not like a long battle on the battlefield that goes on for days with many casualties, but rather the victory that he won through his birth at Bethlehem, the victory that he won above all by that sin-carrying death at Calvary, was like a victory won with burning and fuel of fire. Sudden and total. Not like a prolonged battle. But the question tonight for us then is, do we know this child? The question this Christmas is, do we know what Isaiah is writing about? Do we know that the light that he brings has dawned in our hearts? It was the same power that created the light in the dim and distant past in creation. That's what Paul tells us. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he's promised to give it to all who ask for this light. We had Sammy with us, didn't we, on Sunday from Ghana. And I don't know if you've been to the tropics or you've been to Ghana, you know that when it's sunrise there, the light comes in just suddenly. One moment it's dark and the next moment it's light. But if you're here in the UK on a summer's morning and you're driving off on holiday before dawn, there's a very, very long twilight, isn't there? It takes, it seems, a long, long time to go from darkness to light. And so it is as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. For some, it's like that tropical dawn, sudden, swift, and for others it's a long dawning. But for all, it has this gracious effect, the effect of the light of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. And the theme of that effect, that light, is the great theme of the epistles of John, walking in the light, the effect it has on our relationship with each other, the effect it has above all on our relationship with God. There's a favourite verse of many of us in the first chapter of John's first epistle, and it's this: if we walk in the light, if we walk in this light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the effect of this light. Well, there's a lot more that we could say in terms of the light of the Lord Jesus shining in the conversion of sinners. But the important thing tonight and the important thing this Christmas is, do we know it? Do we know it personally? Have we felt the light in our own hearts? So that's the first application. And then secondly, and briefly, and finally, really want to talk a little bit about the light of the Lord Jesus shining in dark times. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in dark times. And I just want to turn our attention very briefly back again to Galilee and to the account in John chapter 6. I won't read the whole account. Again, you may want to read it when you get home. But from verse 15, we read that the disciples, the Lord Jesus retreated into a mountain alone, and the disciples set out across the sea, no doubt expecting him to come with them. They entered into a ship and went across towards Capernaum. And then in verse 17, and this is really what struck me, we have these words: and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And you know, sometimes, even if we believe that we know the light of the gospel in our hearts, we sometimes feel that darkness still. We sometimes feel the darkness of circumstances that surround us. God is calling us to walk through dark and difficult times. We sometimes feel that darkness when we look to the future. The future seems dark. We don't know what it holds. Sometimes it concerns us. Sometimes it makes us anxious. Sometimes we wish we did know what the future held, or at least we had a clear sense of what the Lord's guidance might be for the future. And sometimes the darkness is an encroaching sense of the darkness of this world, or a particular sense of the darkness within. But you know, in this account that we're looking at in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus, of course, does eventually come to them. And when he comes to them, he comes walking through that darkness, and he comes walking across the stormy sea. And more than that, although it's dark, and although they felt the darkness, and although they felt the absence of the Lord Jesus, he speaks to them. And this is what he says. He says, "It is I. Be not afraid." And I believe that tonight, in our circumstances, whatever they are, the Lord Jesus, just as truly as he spoke to those disciples in the darkness on the Sea of Galilee, speaks still to us tonight. And he says, "It is I. Be not afraid." The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. So I don't know what your circumstances are tonight, whether it's an anniversary occasion, whether you're walking through dark circumstances, whether the future seems dark, but whatever it is, may we each be able to say that we've seen a great light. And there seems to be such an emphasis, doesn't there, on this: a great light, the greatness of our Saviour, the greatness of his ability to come just where we are, the greatness of his ability to save us. And so may we know something of this tremendous truth across the Christmas period. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. Thank you.